try to put those two things together. Hear the word of God as it comes to us from the 21st chapter of the Gospel of John, beginning with the first verse. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he showed himself in this way. Gathered there together were Simon Peter, Thomas called the Twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "We will go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, you have no fish, have you?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net to the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. The disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." And when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on some clothes, for he was naked, and he jumped into the sea. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, only about 100 yards off. When they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there with fish on it and bread. And Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore, full of large fish, 153 of them. And though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Pray with me. O Lord, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of all of our hearts, be acceptable in your sight, you who are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So the disciples go to Galilee. Jesus is risen from the dead. They go to Galilee. And there Jesus meets them. They go to Galilee. They do what they've always done. They fish. And Jesus meets them there. That's really the promise of our risen Lord, that wherever we go, to Galilee, to Jerusalem, to Lake County, wherever we go, Jesus will meet us there. He'll meet us there doing whatever we're doing. Clearly, when you're fishing, Jesus was clearly a fisher. Obviously, when you're feasting, but also, I think, okay, maybe I'm stretching it. Maybe this is preacher's license, but I think Jesus would meet his disciples when they go whitewater rafting. Call it a hunch. Call it a hunch. I think whitewater rafting is a great, first of all, it's a great experience, but it's also a great metaphor. So today we're going to talk about rafting the river of life. And we have just a little picture of what it's like. This is rafting on the New River. Our youth groups and their summer mission trips have been on the Yaquigany River in Pennsylvania, the New River in West Virginia, the Pigeon River in Tennessee, which is where they'll be this summer. But this is the New River. You just hit a couple of ups and downs along the way. Little things like hydraulics and rocks and holes. You wear helmets for a reason. Not so much the rocks, actually. The most dangerous thing on the river is what they're holding in their hands. It's actually a lot louder than this when you're in a raft. That sounds about right. So on the New River, in the New River Gorge, you'll find rapids, you'll find crazy times. You'll also find times sort of like they're into right now, calmer. You'll find some times that are downright placid, where you just sort of float and laze along, and then you hear the sound in the distance, the sound of something more coming, another rapid, another challenge to meet. Well, let me say, there are some rivers that you can raft on your own. You can rent your own raft, you can throw it in, and you'll pretty much be fine. You might get a little wet or something. There are other rivers where you raft, where you really need to have a guide. And then there are some rivers where you need to have a guide in your boat. When we lived in Pennsylvania, we were just north of a river called the Cheat River in West Virginia, which I think is one of the best named rivers on the planet. And the Cheat River is a really great challenge for whitewater rafting. So several guys and I decided we would go in the spring on the Cheat River, because the spring is when the high water is. We thought, that'll be a real challenge. That'll be a real challenge. So you go there, and it's so cold that you're wearing wetsuits. And we get there, and we arrive, we find out that there's been flooding. There's been flooding. So that means that the river has changed. So they're going to put a guide in our raft. We were all sort of glad to hear that. There's going to be a guide in our raft. Until the guide said, the river has changed so much from the flooding. He said, none of us really know the river. Okay. Did we have a fun time? Absolutely we did. It was half fun. It was half fear. One of my friends said he hadn't been that scared since, he went over in the water, and we picked him up, a couple hundred yards down the river. He said he hadn't been that scared since he was in Vietnam, and he wasn't smiling when he said it. But we made it through. Thank God we did have a guide. He might not have known the river, but he at least knew. He could tell, he could read the river well enough that he knew some places to avoid. But it was half fun, it was half frightening, and it was half exhilarating, which I know is like three halves, but that's the only way to really describe the intensity of the experience. So it was great that day to have a guide in our raft. I think it's a great idea in life to have Jesus in your raft. To have Jesus in your raft. You can go through life on your own. You can paddle on your own, and you might do fine, you might not, but there are some tough spots in life. And it's great to have Jesus in your raft. Or if you want to think of it, the Holy Spirit in your raft. God in your raft. However you want to think of it. It's a great thing to have Jesus in your raft. Why? I'd say there's like three reasons. First is that you will hit some rough spots when you're river rafting. It happens. There are rough spots. Some of them are called hydraulics. Hydraulics are when the water is spilling over a rock or a ledge, and it goes down and it creates a backflow, and so you get those waves. And you saw a lot of hydraulics in that video a minute ago. It's like you're going into waves, even though the current of the river is flowing downstream. And some hydraulics are small and easy and fun, and some hydraulics are a little dangerous because you can get caught in a hydraulic, especially if your raft is sideways like this. Bad thing for your raft to be sideways going into hydraulic. Also sort of inevitable. But hydraulics are tough, but the way to get through a hydraulic is you paddle through it. You paddle hard, you paddle through it, and you need to have someone in your raft who can aim your raft, who can help you know when to paddle forward, when to paddle back, so that you hit the hydraulic head on. Because that's the way to get through a hydraulic. Hit it head on, paddle fast. The other thing you can run into a river that can be difficult are these large things. They're hard, and they're called rocks. They're called rocks. Now, when you float into a rock, and sometimes will happen, your raft will float sort of like this into a rock, sort of like sideways into a rock. And the intuitive thing to do is to pull back. There are some things that are intuitive, and when there's like a big rock that is bigger than you and you are about to hit it, it seems like the smart thing to do is to pull back. But if you pull back, say I'm the rock and you pull back, then the problem is all the weight's on that side of the raft, and you're hitting this rock and there's water underneath you, and you tend to go like that. And I had some great video queued up of rafts flipping on rocks. But we're taking the high school youth group to Tennessee this year. We're going rafting. There are going to be parents watching. So we're not going to look at that video. That's as close as you get, right there. Jill, can you help me flip this back? Because I don't want people just looking at this for the next 45 minutes. Yeah. So the moral is, when you're about to hit a rock, it's counterintuitive, but lean in. Lean into the rock. Lean into it. And when you're rafting through life, when you hit tough things, when you face challenges, the way you get through them is not to pull back, but to lean in, to face it head on, and to paddle through it. And with Jesus in your raft, you have a source right there with you of courage and strength. You're not going to miss the rocks. You're not going to miss the rapids. But you'll have someone on your side there helping you paddle through. I don't know how many times I have heard people say, "I don't know how I got through that. I don't know where the strength came from. I don't know where I found it. But somehow when I needed it, it was there." With Jesus in your raft, the strength, the courage will be there when you need it. You know, the farmer's prayer, "Lord, remind me that there's nothing that can happen today that you and I together can't handle." With Jesus in your raft, that's the truth. But you don't want Jesus in your raft for only that reason. And you don't want a guide in your raft only so that you'll know what to do when you get in trouble. No, you want a guide in your raft, actually, so you hit the rapids. So you hit the hydraulics. It's possible when you're rafting down the river to avoid all that stuff. Often, sometimes there's a huge hydraulic right here, but you can go this way if you want. You can go that way. But it's no fun. It's no fun. You want to hit that hydraulic right in the middle. You want to go bouncing up and down. You want to run the risk of that. Because that's the joy of it. That's the joy of it. And with Jesus in your raft, you want to experience life. You don't want to just sort of go through the motions. You know, that's what a midlife crisis is, you know, when you wake up when you're 40 or 50 or whatever it is, and you go, "Oh my gosh, what have I been doing all my life? I haven't been hitting the hydraulics at all. I've been missing it. I've been missing it." So with Jesus in your raft, you don't miss it. The taste of chocolate ice cream. Great music. Like One Direction. They're still my favorite boy band. Or even just being able to take risks like whitewater rafting or the risks that are involved in loving someone else. You do that. With Jesus in your raft, you hit the rapids, but you hit them head on and you really live. You really live. You discover what you love to do. God's given each of you some gift. God gives each of you so many things in this world to enjoy. I mean, that's part of what life is, this precious gift, but it's possible to miss it. You can miss it. You can miss it. I remember the movie Hook. Anybody see the movie Hook? The Peter Pan story retold by Steven Spielberg. I don't think it's really all that great of a movie. But I remember the beginning of it where, what's his name? The really funny guy, Robin Williams, is this corporate executive, and he's doing all kinds of great and wonderful things, but he's, of course, completely missing. He misses his kid's ball game. He misses pretty much everything about it. And his wife finally gets him face-to-face, looks him in the eye, and says, "This is your life, and you are missing it." But there's one other thing that is so easily missed, and it's one of the things that Jesus is absolutely the best at pointing out, is that part of the joy of life, part of what life is all about, is giving your life away for someone else's sake. Giving your life away for someone else's sake. Making a difference in the world. Having compassion, which literally means to suffer with another, which might hurt, which usually does hurt. And yet it's the only way to really, truly be alive. And one of the best stories I know about that, about the taking the risk of love and really being alive, is a story about one of our own church families. Many of us know the Brill family. Greg and Marianne Brill, You know, they have four wonderful kids, but their third son is Adam, who is has Down syndrome. And Adam has been a wonderful part of the life of our church. And in his younger days, he was a part of the youth group, and he would come to Sunday night youth group meetings. And then Greg said, he's going to come on the mission trip this summer. Cool, we can do that, that's great. But midway through this mission trip, guess what we're going to be doing? We're going whitewater rafting. Now you might think that Greg Rowe would say, well, Adam and I will sit this one out. We're not going to go whitewater rafting. That's maybe a little bit too intense, maybe a little bit too much. But you know, Greg Brill, if you know Greg Brill, you know that's not happening. That's not happening. No. Greg and Adam are going whitewater rafting just like the rest of us. So there we are. We're cruising down the Yaukagany River, which is a great river to raft. And we're going through the rapids, and they're doing fine, and they're having fun. But then we come to a place called Swimmer's Rapid. Swimmer's Rapid is exactly what it sounds like. Swimmer's Rapid, you paddle through it, then you pull off to the side, and you walk back up to the top of the rapid. And you do, you know, we talked about counterintuitive a little while ago. You know, there are some things that are counterintuitive, like jumping out of an airplane. Well, another counterintuitive thing is jumping into the middle of a rapid. But that's what you do. You jump in the rapid, and you keep your feet up, and you know, you have life jackets on. You do have your helmet. And you float through the rapid. And you hit those hydraulics, and it's a blast. So we pull over, and we get off, and I see Greg and Adam are just sort of standing there looking, and I'm thinking, you know, I'm going to hurry up there, and I'm going to swim through it, and then I'm going to come back, and I'll stay with Adam so Greg can do this. I don't want Greg to miss this, because this is really... it's a really cool thing. This is what it looks like, by the way. I think we have a video of what it looks like to go through Swimmer's Rapid. Yes, that's a human being without a raft in the middle of that rapid there. Yeah, that's the end of Swimmer's Rapid. It's a pretty good little trick. Can you hit a rock? Yes, you can. Have I hit a rock? Yes, I did. So, I go through Swimmer's Rapid. I hurry out. I'm thinking, okay, I'm ready to tell Greg, but Greg's not here to be found. So I walk up the river. I get up river just in time, of course you're not surprised to hear, to see Greg and Adam holding hands, jumping into the middle of this whitewater and sailing through together. I'll never forget it. I'll never forget the look on Adam's face of sheer joy at doing this incredibly crazy, foolish thing. But I also won't forget the look on Greg's face looking at Adam floating through Swimmer's Rapid. And that's living, I think. I mean, you don't have to go whitewater rafting, although I think it's a really great idea, and I think almost anybody would love it. Almost. But not only experiencing your own joy at this life that is God's precious gift to us, but also helping somebody else experience that same joy. So, put Jesus in your raft. And when you face the challenges of life, you'll lean in and paddle through. Experience the joy, the pure joy of being alive. And with Jesus in your raft, you'll also know what it is to make a difference in someone else's life. And so, at the same time, enrich your own. Pray with me. Gracious God, we're all rafting on the river of life, and there's calm water, and there's white water, and there's laughter, and there's fear, but beneath it all, there is joy. Help us all to know that joy of resurrection life, that joy that is deeper down than doom, that joy that is at the heart of all things, the joy that is your precious gift to each and every one of us. Pray in the name of our risen Savior, and let all God's people say, amen.